song has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday. Our Anderson trek begins today with Mike Anderson, head baseball coach at Nebraska. He's going to be joining us later on in the program. Coming up in our next segment, the Nebraska Horse Racing Hall of Fame has their induction ceremonies tonight in Grand Island at Fauner Park, and we'll be talking with one of the inductees in Wayne Anderson. And then at the end of the program, Joe DiMeo is going to join us from Fantasy Players Edge, talk a little baseball. The Royals had their three-game winning streak snapped. Cubs lost. Yankees won. Really, it was just kind of a crappy day in baseball.
Yeah, the Royals showed a little bit of, get back into the ball game, tie it at two, and then immediately get up three more runs, kind of claw back at it. And then hit some balls hard in the ninth, couldn't get one to drop in there. But a 5-4, hey, win a series, move on.
Also on the program today, a chance to win tickets to Nebraska's spring game coming up on Saturday at 1 o'clock. We're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Nebraska spring game here on the Doug and Daddy Show today. We're in that spot where there's just not a ton going on. The NHL playoffs did begin last night, the NBA. Okay, do you care about the NHL or the NBA playoffs as you give me that stupid look?
Well, the only time of the year people do care about the NBA is right now.
You care. When do the playoffs start?
I care.
Who's the number one seeds?
The number one seeds are Cleveland Cavaliers and the Los Angeles Lakers, followed by, right behind in the West by the Denver Nuggets, who I think is a remarkable story.
Because Derek told you all about this beginning of the show. That's okay.
No, because we were talking about this because I cannot believe the Denver Nuggets are the number two seed, and I don't think a lot of people realize that right down the road, an opportunity which a lot of people would normally cheer for, it's not even in the USA Today. It has nothing to do with the USA Today. This is big news because there were so many scenarios for the West as far as teams vying for spots, and Denver loses to Portland last night, which surprised a lot of people, I think, but then still found a way to find the number two seed by other things that happened. And Derek, it shook down all the way to what? The Dallas Mavericks?
Yeah, Dallas, there was a lot of games with implications last night. Everyone pretty much had a playoff spot locked up, but it was as far as who's going to finish where, and Houston could have finished as high as three and had home court advantage through the first round, and then they could have finished fourth as well, but Dallas ended up beating them last night, knocked them all the way down to fifth. Dallas got the sixth seed. They're going to play San Antonio in third, so things got jumbled a bit last night, but everything's set now, and it's looking like a pretty good playoff.
Well, then now this morning, Kevin Garnett out probably for the playoffs, according to the coach, and that was a surprise because last night it was, well, maybe he won't be able to play in the first round, but all systems go for the rest of the playoffs. Now can't get it done, so now it looks like the Cavs have kind of got a pass to the championship, really.
The Magic aren't going to be they're not going to be easy, but I think the Cavs are probably definitely the favorite to come out of the East. But watch out for Orlando, especially now that Boston has the two seed. Orlando's the three, so they're probably going to meet each other in the second round. And I imagine Orlando probably takes care of business there.
All right, Doug. So then you find out all the seedings and that, and then John Madden retires. Other than that, nothing's going on in the sports world. I suppose you don't care about that either.
Well, breaking news, John Madden retires, yeah. That's, there's no more Pat Summerall, there's no more John Madden. As we talked about with Fred White on the show on Tuesday, you're starting to see the turnover from, let's face it, once you get a gig, you get to keep that gig until you don't want it anymore. You're talking guys that have been announcers of teams like Harry Callis was for the Phillies for 38 years. It's not 15, it's not 20, it's 30, 35, 40. How long has Vin Scully been doing it? 50 plus? we're starting to see, I guess, a little bit of a turnover in that department, and John Madden's just the next one to go out. And now, who do they bring in as a replacement? You know, you got Al Michaels, who does a great job, and I guess just plug in the next ex-athlete. That's what's going to happen here.
Well, a lot of speculation out there is they're going to separate the crew of Aikman and John Buck to go somewhere, you know, to do that. But I think together...
Is that what John does in the offseason?
Joe Buck, sorry. Joe Buck. I think a lot of speculation out there about that. Do you think the passing of Callis and then the Milwaukee Brewers guy, and his name escapes me yesterday, was 82?
Bob Uecker?
No. He didn't die yesterday. There was a longtime voice.
Merle Harmon.
Do you think that seeing a couple of colleagues that maybe John Madden knew a long, long time said, maybe there's some other things I should do before it's too late?
What's John Madden going to do?
Drive around, see some things.
Retire to a table full of turducken.
Yeah, sure. Why not? All right. So I'm glad you're back.
Well, I think finally nobody cares about this NBA season until now, and I think everything's lining up, and everybody wants to see this magical final of Kobe and LeBron. You have no interest in seeing that at all?
Yeah, in 2.5 months.
These first-round games are the best 4 out of 7, which
is crap. I mean, it's too much. 82 games. I mean, we're not done till July, end of June. I mean, it's 2 months more this season. It's just forever. When's the last time we saw somebody come out of nowhere and win the whole thing?
Never.
Okay.
Mikey Moore, though, playing with Boston now, got a chance. With Garnett out, one of those, I guess, four. Leon Poe, they got Big Baby Davis, they've got Mikey Moore.
I just am having a problem here because you haven't brought up the NBA in 82 games, and now today.
Because
all
I don't
of a
think any listeners out
fan.
There care about it until now. And especially last night when it came down to so many things
and
having to happen.
We care
to
so much
seeds.
About it that we don't even have the brackets. I just don't even understand. I guess. What's the exciting storyline in the first round of the NBA playoffs?
Well, right now, the Garnett's out.
What's the exciting storyline? Matchup, team, history.
Well, in the first round, I don't know that you've got an intrigue. Oh, my gosh.
San Antonio should be pretty good.
That's a 3-6.
Yeah, it's a 3-6, and they always battle it out. Obviously, two Texas rivals there, and they don't like each other. So that should be pretty good. I'm a Dallas fan, though, so I'm a bit impartial there.
Your thoughts, 1-888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776. Fire us off your emails, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Off to the Dent Popper inbox, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Yeah, that's way too much NBA talk. Way too much NBA talk. The NHL playoffs started last night. NBA playoffs will start Saturday. I'm sorry. I guess I don't care.
I just think they amp it up and play to such a different level for the next 2.5 months. And probably is a little bit long, but. Nonetheless, I think you start to see a different level. The level of basketball you see the final 4 or 6 minutes of an NBA game now, you're going to see it the whole NBA game now. And you're going to see LeBron James. Who's going to be the MVP of the league, Derek?
Yeah, it's going to be so close. It could go three ways. Dwayne Wade's kind of in the third seat there. He's probably not going to win it, but it's going to be evenly split between Kobe and LeBron. I think they've got your LeBron lovers, you got your Kobe lovers, and I think it's pretty close to 50-50.
What seed are the Heat?
The Heat?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. No, they are. There are 7, right?
I have no idea.
I believe there are 7. I'm not paying much attention to the East because Cavaliers are going to come out of there. They're a low seed. They're 7. Detroit's 8. They play the Cavs. I believe Miami is...
No, Chicago's... No, Boston plays Chicago. Yeah. 2-7.
The East is muddled. You got a bunch of under 500 teams snaking into the bottom couple of spots there, and bleh.
Dwayne Wade getting some MVP.
He's averaged 30 points a game this year, and, I mean, he's like a 37-5 type of guy, night in and night out. So, I mean, he's – but when you look at what LeBron and Kobe have done for their teams this year, Kobe's going to get it. I don't – I mean
– Kobe's going to get it, okay.
He plays for the Lakers. They're the Lakers. They had a great year this year. They locked out everyone in the West a long time ago. They've had their number one seed locked up. So.
But the Cavs can't lose at home, and they've got home court.
Who's the one team to beat the Cavs at home? The Lakers.
Sixers.
No, Lakers.
Sixers last night.
Well, yeah, Sixers last night, minus LeBron. Minus LeBron, you're correct. But going into last night, they lost one home game all season with LeBron on the floor. And
so they're what, 30, that was against 38 and 2?
Yes, they're 39-2 at home.
39-2 at home. Not bad. Not bad. I don't know that anybody's going to be able to go in there and win what they need to, especially in the finals. But that... I don't know that there's been a more anticipated look towards the finals, Derek. You could say last year the Boston and the Lakers getting back for old time's sake, but the bad blood was kind of taken out of that by a few years of not meeting there or not having the teams playing up to what they had been for so long. You've got a final that squares up to be a heavyweight.
If LeBron and Kobe make the finals, they'll be the highest rated finals that
Absolutely.
We've seen for a long, long time.
Get back to me in June. 1-888-455-ESPN. Yesterday we were talking, had a couple of emails in there about the Royals and their best pitching rotation ever. The best trio wasn't one of the choices. By the time Leonard and Splittorff reached their stride, Busby had already torn up his rotator cuff. When Leonard and Splittorff were in their stride, Larry Gurr was the third pitcher and a pretty good one, especially in big games. Buck and Carney, Royals fanatic, following in there. Yeah, all those comparisons, no matter what. See, because right now you're talking LeBron, Kobe. You know, we've had these matchups, and I guess this is the first really great matchup since Bird Magic. Is that what we're trying to say?
Yeah. Yes.
Because Jordan had nobody to go with him?
Well, yeah. Maybe Stockton, Malone.
Well, I mean, it was Utah.
Yeah.
It was Utah, and it was those two. But there was not that head-to-head vying for the MVP.
And you know what I heard? I heard a great argument the other day. I think I was reading it online somewhere along the lines of ESPN.com. What if they wouldn't have had the hand-check rule when Jordan played? If you would not have been able to hand-check Jordan, he would have absolutely annihilated the league. They've taken away the hand-check now. So that Kobe, LeBron, those guys get all those little fouls. But back in the day, you could basically maul Jordan and a lot of times wouldn't get a call.
Jordan wasn't
still
getting mauled. Jordan was going to push off and get his separation.
I don't know. Anyway, okay, enough. Back to Doug here. He's falling asleep. So.
Let's take a break. That's all we can do. I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. We'll probably even erase this part of the show from the podcast. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, they don't deserve this. They deserve better. We're going to do better. Nebraska baseball coach Mike Anderson and Wayne Anderson going into the Nebraska Horse Racing Hall of Fame coming up after this.
It was just last week when a Doug and Daddy listener was overheard making this remark.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
Guess that about sums it up.
If you like auctions because you like to save big money, don't miss Kearney Yamaha's 24th Annual Inventory Reduction Auction this Sunday. The auction starts at 10 a.m. sharp and will feature over 85 three-wheelers, four-wheelers, motorcycles, and personal watercraft.
This is Craig Stokerbrand at Kearney Yamaha. If you've been to one of our auctions, you already know how much money you can save. Some items sell for as much as $2,000 under regular market prices. Don't miss out on this one-time-a-year opportunity to buy three-wheelers, four-wheelers, motorcycles, and personal watercraft at unbelievably low prices.
You can also bid on thousands of dollars worth of new and used parts and accessories. This year, Kearney Yamaha will also have all of their apparel marked down to incredibly low prices. You can buy T-shirts for as little as $5 and save hundreds of dollars on leather coats and chaps. This money-saving opportunity only happens once a year. Don't miss Kearney Yamaha's annual inventory reduction auction this Sunday, April 19th at 10 a.m. sharp in the Kearney Yamaha parking lot.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam.
Sam! Because upgrading your central air system to a high-efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Dad. Sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high-efficiency Trane model at Fidelke Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a Trane.
Take a closer look and you'll find ACE is different than other natural gas suppliers. ACE, the Public Alliance for Community Energy, is the only not-for-profit natural gas supplier owned by Nebraska communities. We're not a huge company with shareholders. We're ACE. And while you're with ACE, your hard-earned money stays right here in Nebraska, enhancing our communities, parks, and playgrounds. For more information, visit aceenergy.org. Choose ACE. We're in it for you.
One of the most exciting advances in medicine has been the Da Vinci robotic surgery system, now available at Good Samaritan Hospital in Kearney. This remarkable instrument allows physicians to perform surgery with smaller incisions so you can have a shorter stay, less pain, and a quicker return to normal activities. It's good to know the most advanced medical technology on earth is within reach. Good Samaritan Hospital, the medical center centered on you.
Extreme weather can cause delays and closings. When it does, click on ESPNSuperstation.com and look for the Fidelke Heating and Air weather threat icon. Click it for a full listing of delays and closings anytime and update it all the time. Even when the weather stops you, nothing can stop a train.
We'll see more cloud cover and some breaks of sun in some areas today, along with a continued chance for some scattered showers or storms at times, with highs around 66, southeast winds stay at 12 to 25. For tonight, we'll see a chance for showers and a few storms with lows around 46, up to 61 for a high Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 59.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget, you can always pick us up on the World Wide Web as well at ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up, Nebraska baseball coach Mike Anderson and your chance to win some tickets to the Nebraska spring game coming up this Saturday. Now, here's the deal. You got the spring game Saturday, but then the next two Saturdays, for sure, all covered up for me with horse racing. We got the Bosselman in 2 weeks, and then we've got the Kentucky Derby and the winding down of the Fauner Park season in 3 weeks. And so that's always a big thing, and we're going to be talking a lot of horse racing because we love it here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And tonight at Grand Island's Fauner Park, the Nebraska Horse Racing Hall of Fame will induct Falls Amiss, a racehorse, Bob Pollock, Marvin Johnson, and the next guest here on the Doug and Daddy Show, which I think you could put about any title.
Neither three are racehorses.
Well, no, none of these three are racehorses, and have seen so many racehorses that we'll get a little bit on that as well. But he's done a little bit of everything at Fauner Park and around the state of Nebraska when it comes to racing. And anytime you say the name Anderson, you think racing, it seems like, when you're in this part of the country. And we are pleased to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show Wayne Anderson, being inducted as a jockey, of course, currently still working at Fauner Park. And Wayne, glad to have you on the Doug and Daddy Show. First off, congratulations on the great honor of going into the Hall of Fame tonight.
Well, thank you, guys. I sure appreciate that.
This has got to be.
Hey, I got a little comment for you guys' show. I just want to let you know.
Okay.
Love the show. And I work a lot in the wintertime doing construction, and we want to tell you, Larry Jensen and I, that you're our second favorite show on ESPN.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
What do we got to do?
As soon as your show comes on, we knew it was just about lunchtime, but you couldn't beat Jim Rome because that was when it was just about time to quit.
I guess I never thought of that before.
Oh yeah, we kept waiting for you guys to come on.
I will tell you this. All I know about timelines is I know when they kick us out of BTs, it's time for the races to start.
So there you go.
That's all I know. Wayne, I mean, there's so much to talk about, and we get to talk with the track announcer Steve Anderson from time to time in the history and all those sorts of things. I guess when you're getting ready to go in the Hall of Fame tonight and the long and illustrious career that you've had, what are a couple of the first thoughts that came to your mind when they said, hey, Wayne, we want to put you in the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, I go back to when I actually started riding. I mean, because I did everything, a lot of stuff before. I didn't start like when I was 16, like most of them do now. And And I'm going to tell you, when I first started, it was I used to come to the jocks room and just suit up. Wasn't on anything, but I'd sit there all day just in case I could pick a horse up. Now, who would have thought I was ever going to go from there to the Hall of Fame?
Well, Wayne, I guess as you look back at Nebraska horse racing and the places you've been, take us back to a special meet or two for you.
Oh, I guess there's been lots of... I want to tell you, when Atticad was still running a full season, I was second leading rider up there, I think, six straight years in a row before I won it. And the funny part about it was all 6 years it was a different rider that beat me. And I said that was just, it was just I kept thinking, because Mark Gordon, when he wrote for the Lincoln paper, nicknamed me Avis because of their number two, we try harder. And I just kept earning it up there, and that being second.
Wayne Anderson. Wayne Anderson has joined us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from a racing family, and I guess let's start there. Your dad, Irv, was inducted back in 1976, and I guess one of the things we should say, there was a long gap till about 4 years ago where they weren't having a Hall of Fame ceremony every year, so the last 4 years we're starting to see some folks that have again, put the years in, but what did you learn from your dad? And I guess as it is with a lot of folks where kids and grandkids follow their father or their mom or their parents in the job they do, you probably learn a lot and you grew up around the industry.
Right. I never got to watch him ride because he quit while I was still too young. And then we moved back out here to the farm. So actually I was raised on the farm and not around the racetrack. And then they asked my dad to come back to work as an official. And so when I turned 16, I came and started galloping horses and decided I was going to try to lose the weight and ride. And once I started riding, you talk about getting critiqued now. I used to tell him, I better not ride a race that's over 6 furlongs because as many mistakes as I make going 6 furlongs, I don't know what would happen going a mile 70. My dad was a little tough on me. I'm going to tell you that right now when he was upstairs in the stand, but it all was for the best. I mean, he knew what he was doing. Riders would chip into Exarban from all over the country, and the first thing they would do was sit down with my dad and watch films and kind of get track biased, get how different riders rode, but they were always asking him the questions because he could critique anything.
Wayne, when you look back at all the years you've been involved in horse racing, whether it's in Nebraska or other places, is there one or two jockeys, whether you raced with them, against them, what have you, that you look at and go, man, it doesn't matter what era these guys raced in, they were going to be special riders?
Oh, yes. I mean, Fred Eckerty, as we all know, you know, riding against him, Fred was so calm, so cool, and so hard to beat. That when I did, I let him know it pretty good and stuff because we're still the best of friends. And a lot of years we were living together, but it was a competition and a half. And then you'd get to Exarban where you got to ride with the guys like John Lively and the Whited brothers and Larry Snyder, Don Lewis. I mean, I could just go on and on. Those guys were just, they were great. I mean, when you hooked up with them and you beat them, you knew you did something.
Wayne Anderson joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He is going into the Nebraska Horse Racing Hall of Fame tonight. The ceremonies will be at Fauner Park in Grand Island, where Wayne is currently employed. He retired in 1989, and he's currently the assistant racing secretary and stakes coordinator at Fauner. And you're getting ready for the Bosselman, but I guess let's face it, Wayne, it's a whole different era from when you rode to all the, I guess if you want to call them, rules and all the changes and what they have done now. Explain to me, I mean, Tony and I love racing, but explain to me back when you were in the prime of your racing career, that's a whole different ball game than what they go through today, isn't it?
Oh, completely. I mean, completely different. The riding was not, I won't say rougher, but it was nothing to have a guy set a trap for you. You start up in there, he'd close the door, and there was no complaining about it, no claiming foul. You knew what happened, you were taking your chance. And we rode on some racetracks, I mean, that were terrible bad. But, I mean, they didn't have the equipment they have now, so you just grinned and bear it. You just knew it was coming when that rain hit. And some of them tracks, I can remember the little track of Madison, a half-mile racetrack, and you'd be lucky to get around six furlongs in a minute and 25 seconds.
Wayne Anderson joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Wayne, you know, you bring up Exarban and what it meant to horse racing in the state of Nebraska. I cannot imagine being there, and I've got friends that drove from Kearney to watch 9 or 10 races. There was not simulcast. They would do that and drive back and forth after 9 or 10 races at Exarban. Take us back to Exarban and the excitement that was really Nebraska horse racing.
Oh, it was great. Like you said, you'd come out, say, like for the first race, and you'd look, and the whole infield would be parked completely full of cars. The grandstand was completely packed, and we just made it. If you rode the last race, you went back up into the jocks room. You showered, dressed. We played cards because you knew you weren't going to get out of there for at least an hour with the traffic all backed up. And it was just, when you came down the stretch there, that roar of that crowd was really quite something. And it was quite a thrill just to ride there, and anytime you won and did good, it was a great feeling.
Wayne, kind of following up on that, what are your thoughts on where the state of horse racing is in Nebraska today?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. We have got a great group with the HPPA that is doing all they can to try to preserve racing in here, and I just don't believe that people realize what they might miss if racing would happen to have to close in Nebraska, because it's going to impact a lot more people than they realize, and a lot more areas, especially, I mean, like Fauner. If we would close here, just look at all the good that Fauner Park does for the community that they would not be able to do anymore because it's generated from the horse racing. And that's the same as Lincoln, Columbus, all over. And agricultural-wise, the towns, everything. It would make I believe if we were gone in a couple of years, they'd realize what they lost.
Well, if loving what Wayne Anderson just said there is wrong, then Daddy don't ever want to be right, because that is so, so true. And Wayne, I guess for horse racing fans out there, you've got to see so many tracks over the nation. Is there one place that you go, boy, if you're going to see one or two tracks in the summer, you'd really like to see?
Yeah, I'd love to go to Saratoga, and then I'd love to go back to the California circuit to Santa Anita. You know, those two to me just kind of stand out. Arlington Park now I know is great. I've been there in Chicago. But to me, I think Saratoga and Santa Anita would just be the class.
Wayne, last question before we let you get out of here, because also Marv Johnson and Robert Pollock are going into the Hall of Fame. Maybe just a couple of words about those two gentlemen.
Oh, what great guys. I mean, Marvin Johnson, I've ridden for him. I've worked with him now as being official. You know, when he comes in entering horses and nominating horses, and he's a great horseman. No ifs, ands, or buts about it now, and he does a lot of work. I mean, he does his own work. He doesn't just sit around the stable and tell other people to do it, but he's doing it himself. He's on the pony. He's out watching everything go. And Bob Pollock has just got in this morning and just been visiting with him again, and he was a steward and official with my dad and everything. And there was times when Bob and I got into it, but that was what we were supposed to do when we were riding, and he was a steward. His opinion was always wrong, and mine was right. But Bob is one great guy and knows horse racing frontwards and backwards, and he really deserves his honor.
Wayne, how's our Bosselman looking for next week?
Real good. We got 30 nominations, and I'm really thinking that we have a shot of bringing in some really nice horses. I said, the big thing is not the nominations. It's the ones that are actually interested in coming here. And we've got, I think, more interest this year than ever.
Well, Wayne Anderson,
you know, they're all going to have to meet our local favorite, the Nuts. They're going to have to beat him because he's in great shape and training perfect.
Wayne Anderson joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Wayne, all I can say is you're dismissed and you can go to lunch now.
No, I can't. We just drew the races for Saturday, so now I've got to go back and finish up work and start handicapping and making program selections for Saturday.
Well, Wayne, we sure appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a great time tonight. We hope to see you at the track here over the next 3 weeks.
Okay, we'll sure look forward to you guys.
Take care. Wayne Anderson going into the Nebraska Horse Racing Hall of Fame tonight. Social hour starts at 5:30 at Fodder Park. I believe horse racing fans know what a social hour is, and so that gets underway tonight at 5:30. Congrats to him and all the folks that are going into the Hall of Fame. Mike Anderson, Nebraska baseball coach, right around the corner. We'll be back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two guys who get a little emotional when they hear John Belushi yell,
there's one thing we all like, it's saving money. And I know how you can save 5 cents on every gallon of Shell gasoline you buy. Get the new Shell Saver Card. It's a payment card that links directly to your checking account. Swipe it at the pump and the 5 cents per gallon discount appears in your bank statement. Just pick up a brochure at a participating Shell station. Application and each transaction are subject to approval. Offer valid for new accounts until June 30th, 2009. After June 30th, you continue to save 2 cents per gallon at Shell. See application and card member agreement for complete details.
The Home Depot has good news for contractors. And what contractor could use a little of that? The number one name in home improvement now carries the number one name in ladders. Werner, preferred by pros more than any other brand of ladder. Now get our 6-foot fiberglass stepladder at a new lower price of just $58. Werner ladders are back at the Home Depot. Things are definitely looking up. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Fanatics Sports Bar in Kearney wants you to know about their NASCAR giveaway. Stop by Fanatics this weekend and sign up for your chance to win 4 tickets to the truck and IndyCar races at Kansas Speedway on April 25th. While you're there, enjoy a great smoke-free atmosphere while catching the game with friends along with a nice cold beverage. Bored on Sundays? Experience the NASCAR Hot Pass during every NASCAR race. The Fanatics NASCAR giveaway. Sign in to win this weekend. Fanatics Sports Bar, downtown on the Bricks. This weather update is brought to you by Rich Peters and Matt Myers from Farm Bureau Insurance, located on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
We'll see more cloud cover and some breaks of sun in some areas today, along with a continued chance for some scattered showers or storms at times, with highs around 66, southeast winds stay at 12 to 25. For tonight, we'll see a chance for showers and a few storms with lows around 46, up to 61 for a high Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 59.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Call now. We have got Nebraska spring game tickets to give away. 1-888-455-ESPN. If you would like a pair of tickets to Nebraska's spring game Saturday at 1 o'clock, call now. One pair of tickets per household. 1-888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Say the parent meeting for Five Points Junior and Little Caesars senior teams in Kearney is Monday night at 6:30 at the Harmon Park Activity Center. That's going to be coming up. So if you have that, if your kids are ready to play baseball, it's a Legion baseball time, and here we go. This is for the Five Points Junior and Little Caesars senior baseball time. The big boys are ready to get to it. Monday, Harmon Park Activity Center. And the meeting begins at 6:30. That's this Monday night. And if you need more information, get a hold of Dave, 627-7272. All right, it's time to give away a pair of spring game tickets, and we're going to do our favorite game, Daddy, at least our favorite game this week, Name That Uniform Number. Let's go to the phone lines, and who do we got first?
This is Terry.
Terry, Daddy, who do you got?
Well, it was so big when Nadalakam Sue came back for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. What number is Nadalakam Sue, Terry?
He would be, oh, crap, 95.
Oh,
no, it's so close.
Thanks, Terry. Try again. Try again. 1-888-455-ESPN. We go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Scott.
Scott, okay, here. Daddy is finding another another jersey number for you. Okay, Daddy.
Well, I'm going to go back to last year's quarterback, Joe Gans.
Good God. Really?
What number is Joe Gans?
12.
There's a winner. Pair of tickets. Hold on to the line. Hold on to the line. Derek will give you your information. We're going to give away another pair of tickets here before we catch up with Mike Anderson, who's about ready to give us a buzz here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we will catch up with him. All right. I thought maybe you were going to go this year's Huskers, maybe Huskers of the past. I've got one. I'm going to go one. As soon as Derek gets the information, keep calling 1-888-455-ESPN. We'll mix in some current players, some former players. We've got another pair of tickets. And at the end of the show, we're going to give you a chance to win more tickets to the Nebraska spring game. It's this Saturday at 1 o'clock. I think we're going to do some more. I don't know. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. 1-888-455-ESPN. And let's go back to the phone lines here to take another caller.
Who we got here?
Derek's first day on the job, right?
He was.
Are we gonna roll? Me and you? That's it. We've been getting along for like 27 straight days.
I thought we were gonna give away those two.
I hate the NBA. I just unbelievable. Oh wait, let's go back to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Brandon.
Brandon, what was Johnny Rogers' number?
20.
There it is, Brandon. See,
Tommy Frazier.
Well, you went with Joe Gans, for God's sakes. How would anybody?
Tommy Frazier.
Johnny Rogers. Congratulations, Brandon. Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Brandon. All right. You okay?
Yep.
You okay now?
I'm in good shape.
Joe DeMeo expected to join us in the last segment from Fantasy Players Edge. And Daddy and Nebraska baseball. You're okay. We're going to give away more spring tickets?
Yeah. Perfect. We're going to give away a family four-pack, actually.
Maybe. Maybe we'll give away two pair of two.
No, later in the show.
Well, the Nebraska baseball team getting off the schneid, breaking the losing streak on Tuesday night. They got a win over Iowa, and just in time, because now they embark in a 7-game road trip, and it starts at Texas A&M tomorrow night against the team ranked number one in the preseason. Begins that 7-game road trip, but at least there's a little bit better taste in the mouth now as the Huskers got that win Tuesday night, Tony.
Well, we're going to talk about that taste in their mouth right now with the head baseball coach, Mike Anderson. Mike, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thank you, guys. I'm still trying to figure out what get off the schneid means. You guys.
As long as we never get back on it,
right? I agree. I'm with you.
Now, Mike, I know you are not privy to and really don't care that Daddy's been on vacation for the last 2 weeks, but I think it coincides, and I don't think there's any reason to not believe that he got back into the state on Tuesday. You guys get a win. I directly blame him for all the problems.
You know, if you've heard me talk, I really don't. I try not to put blame to anything, and but I will put blame to that. I just think it's uncalled for that you're out of the state, and you need to get back and get on rhythm and on pace with what we're doing.
Well, we're going to try to do that, but, Coach, if we're going to keep this winning deal going, it's going to have to start with getting the ball over the plate a little
Absolutely.
Bit. The pitchers have struggled, especially with walks. I believe last in the Big 12, 107 more than Texas at this point, who leads the Big 12. Obviously, there's an emphasis with you and the coaching staff on that. What's been said?
Well, you're exactly right. Free passes aren't that's not been a part of what we do, you know, and you start to analyze where our situation is and what we've done. We need to do a better job pitching, and you start to analyze why we're there, and you look at 8 kids that could be in this program that are in professional baseball. We sure would like to have those 8 kids. What we have is a group of young kids that are put in different roles and expected to fulfill those roles when maybe they weren't ready for those things. And we understand that. We're trying to develop. We're trying to get them better. We're trying to get them stronger. And I think that the most important part of that whole thing is we're trying to get their confidence. And when you get hit around a little bit and you start getting touched up, you know, you start fiddling around in that zone a bit. And I think that's something that's happened to this group. So. They're good kids. They're working hard. Haven't given up on them. But you're right. They've got to throw more strikes, and we're starting to get in the zone a lot better.
Nebraska baseball coach Mike Anderson joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, a lot of the talk on our program, and I think a lot of the talk when it comes to Nebraska baseball across the state, is comparing what fans thought and what the coaches thought going into last season and going into this season. A lot of folks didn't necessarily know what the pitching staff was going to be either year. Well, what's been the difference? Is it just that last year you had the kids step up and they moved on, and now you're really kind of deep in the well as far as experience, or is it just not clicked for this younger group?
Well, I wouldn't say it hasn't clicked. I'd be very careful. You know, you can't put blame on it. It's one of those things where it's a good young group. Let's be very honest. I said this. We had 8 kids in June, July, and August of last year that are in professional baseball right now. You give me 2 or 3 of those kids that are in this program, that changes the roles of each of these members of this staff. And we went into this year saying it's going to be a very challenging year, and we didn't turn away from the challenge. We thought it was going to be challenging because we're going to be young on the mound. And no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We felt good that we'd take a young group in. We have struggled the last 12 games, but it's still a group. Here's why I have a difficult time going at those kids and saying, boy, they haven't clicked. These are kids that made decisions to say they want to be at Nebraska. Some didn't sign. We use Cash Kalkowski as a perfect example. There's a young man that was drafted, had some opportunities, and said, you know what, I'm going to school. And some of his counterparts that said, hey, I'm going off into professional baseball instead of go to school. We've got a young man named Cash Kalkowski that's working his tail off to try to get better for the University of Nebraska. And those things are really important to me.
Mike, I want to know in the offseason leading up, and even now when you talk to fans out there, it seems to be this expectation of Omaha. And I sometimes have to say, wait a minute. It doesn't happen every year in Miami. It doesn't happen at LSU every year. It sure as hell doesn't happen at Nebraska every year. Do we need to take a step back and realize what's going on?
No. You know what? I like that. I'm okay with that expectation. Let's within our staff, we use this phrase. I mean, trying to win a national championship every day. Not every year, every day. Meaning the things we do, the character, the decisions we make, we're trying to win a national championship on a daily basis. That expectation of going to Omaha, I hope, does not diminish. It hasn't in me. Now, the realism of it is, you're right, Miami doesn't make it every year. The expectations are very high, and sometimes they go a little bit overboard in terms of the fan base. That's okay, but I will tell you this, it has not stopped within this staff that Omaha should be the expectation. And so if we skew that just a little bit from a coach's standpoint, and what we've done in the past skews that, that's okay. I want those expectations to stay high for this program.
Mike Anderson, head baseball coach at the University of Nebraska, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Okay, let's take a look at some of the positives, because we're just at the halfway point here in the Big 12 Conference. There's a lot of baseball left, and you've talked about the mental point. When you get in a little slump like this, you've got to address mental things, and you've got some kids that hit the ball Tuesday night. You've got some kids that have done some good things this year. What are the positives that you're focusing on right now?
Positives are the fact that we've got a good young group of kids, and you start to go through a whole list. You've got Corey Burleson as a freshman, and Tyler Farst is coming back for us, and Cale Kizer, Boomer Collins, Kyrie Cooper. There's a lot of position players that we feel very strongly that, you know, as freshmen, they're getting some quality playing time in key situations. Those kids are going to be back. That's obviously a positive. I think we play strong defense. We have pressed, and that's the one thing that's been a little bit disappointing is that what tends to happen is all of a sudden one part of the game doesn't go well, everything else starts to press a little bit. But earlier in the year, you saw a lot of good signs of kids playing well in pressure situations. So, and I think we've got some pitchers that I mentioned already, Cash Kalkowski. You start to put some of these guys in roles that they can achieve instead of, hey, you're in the Big 12 starting, here you go. Those guys coming back are going to have quality innings. They're going to have experience, and there's a lot of positives in my mind, a lot.
Mike, I guess as you look ahead towards this weekend set with Texas A&M, what do you say to the guys? Because Coach Childress isn't going to feel sorry about the position you're in, and his team sure as heck isn't either.
Oh, heck no. You know what? It's a high, that's we went into this Big 12 and said, you know what, it is an extremely tough year to be a young team. What you've got is most teams have two quality starters that are juniors or seniors. They're back. You looked around the league and you saw the experience and the senior, junior-dominated type teams. Rob has one of those with some pitching, and he's got some depth in that. They've had some ups and downs, and you know, I know they're trying to get back on track the way they want to get back on track. And what we say to our team is, you've got a tough environment, you've got a tough team. You know, I'll tell you this: we've been pretty stripped down to raw bones in terms of egos and humbleness and everything else. We're back to playing the very simple, basic fundamentals, and that's what we're trying to get to. What we tell our kids is, don't let the environment get you, and go play as hard as you possibly can.
Coach, everybody wants an update on Mike Neseth after having to come out of the game this weekend.
He, you know, he's gotten a chance to pitch, and we think it was just a sore back from either sleeping wrong, sitting wrong, or whatever it may be. But we think he's going to be okay. It had nothing to do with his arm, so that was good news. But he was pretty darn stiff that day, and we made the decision as coaching staff that we weren't going to let him go. He thought he could probably make it through some, but you guys know, and as well as I, that that's not the way to treat a young man. So,
well, now, Mike, maybe you can help us out, because as amazing as this sounds, Big Daddy doesn't have the professional athletic training staff that you guys have at Nebraska, and I think he tweaked his back laying out on the beach and fishing last week. Any pointers for him that you guys used on Mike?
Well, you take care of that big belly, start doing some sit-ups. You know, those things will go away. So,
Coach, I've been doing three sets of one. It's just not getting it done. Coach, I've got to ask, here's the fans' question, and I've heard it 100 times. How is Mike Neseth supposed to sit in the bullpen and not pitch when we can't get the ball to him with the lead to close the game?
Well, you know what? We answered that question in the beginning of the year when we weren't, tell you this, we went to the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings of games. And that's pretty demoralizing to a team when you get to the 7th inning and we didn't have anybody to shut things down. You're absolutely correct. And on the other side of that, if we don't have Neseth on the finish a game, our goal is always this. You've got to learn how to start, but unless you know how to finish, you know, you're not going to win many games. We learned our lesson. We learned a few of those lessons on the road, Texas Tech. And you look at moving Mike to the back. Now, I understand – In a 10-game stretch, we had not gotten off to a good start, and all of a sudden Neseth was not being used the way that he could. The key is we've got to get off to a start that allows us to stay in a game, and then we can go to Neseth. It's tough. Those kids have had different roles, and you either put them on the front side or the back side, and our goal is to make sure we can get that 7th, 8th, and 9th inning and see if we can win a game.
Mike, last question. We haven't really touched on the offense, which is starting to get a little bit better, led by T-Zack on Tuesday, and Tyler Forrest is finding the gap with some doubles, and Adam Bailey got off to a good start for you this year with a little bit of pop. Did you see that coming from Adam?
You know, I did. You saw some things. He had some one of the best bat speeds I've seen, you know, come through here in the last 2-3 years, and if he just continues to work on some fundamental things, he's kind of a hit-or-miss guy, streaky guy, and if we can get him more consistent, he's going to even be even better than that. But, you know, from an offensive side of things, we've had some good things. I really like the way we started to progress as the year went on. We've hit some Big 12 pitching. You go against Texas, you know, we scored 7 runs and 5 runs in a game. And last year, those would have been blowouts for us against the Texas team. But they're a quality pitching staff. And our offense has done some good things. Obviously, we're always looking to improve in every aspect of our game, but there's offensive things that I feel very positive about.
Mike, thanks so much for answering some tough questions and for being very, very candid with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Get it going this weekend, and we'll catch up with you later in the year.
Thank you, guys. Always appreciate your support.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Anderson, they get ready to go start a 7-game road trip. The Huskers head to Texas A&M. Preseason number one. Again, we talked with Rob Childress on the show yesterday. Both teams trying to get it going here for the second half of the season. Obviously, neither team, A&M's record's better, but neither team's
different
record is where you thought it would be. Oh, yeah. Expectations very much different. Probably a lot like some folks that thought they had the greatest fantasy draft in the history of fantasy drafts when they took their baseball draft here a couple of weeks ago, and now we're just a little over a week in, and they're scratching their head going, well, now what do I do? And, of course, that's why we bring in from Fantasy Player's Edge every Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show to tweak your lineup, let you know who's hot, who's not, and what you should be looking for at this time of the season. Joe DiMeo joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, glad to have you back. Is your team leading the league? Of course, I'm guessing you probably have more than one out there.
I only play two, guys, because that's all that time permits if I'm going to be able to, maintain the ability to do the research necessary to keep all of us informed on fantasy comings and goings. But I played one in rotisserie. I played one in head-to-head. The head-to-head team I'm actually playing on the website this year. So people can come on in and take a look and see what I do on a daily basis to get the edge on my opponents and how I manage the strategy, the game keys, and all the daily activities that go into trying to be effective in a head-to-head format.
Joe, I guess if we follow the Kansas City Royals, being affiliated with the Kansas City Royals here on ESPN Radio, but Coco Crisp yesterday got his third triple of the season. I believe that's a major league high in triples this season. Total bases obviously comes into factor, but playing in a stadium, do you factor stadiums and where people play most of their games as well when you're factoring things in?
Sure. Adrian Gonzalez would hit 45 home runs if he wasn't playing in Petco. Some of these pitcher-friendly parks, Kauffman, for instance, Petco. It looks like City Field in New York, where the Mets are playing, is going to be one of those types of parks. On the other side of that coin, Great American Ballpark, you want to be careful with your pitchers there. Even though I'm trusting Edison Volquez this year on my head-to-head roster, I waited until the ninth round to add him because he pitches in Great American. And so, yes, the answer is yes. You people always just jump right to Coors. But, since they've been doing that humidor thing, the balls and the cigars in the same bin, it's been more generally, benign baseball up there. And you got more going on in Arlington. Look at the Rangers scoring 19 yesterday, and they probably could have more.
Joe DiMeo from Fantasy Players Edge. See, that's the kind of info that Joe brings to the program every week. People are going, what'd they do their baseballs in Colorado? Well, there you go. They're trying to help things out. Joe, we're still just kind of getting into the third starts for some of these pitchers, but already a lot's been made of last year's Cy Young Award winners who are both off to rough starts and probably were drafted pretty high in people's drafts. Do you panic already, or are there some hot people that maybe you look to slide in there?
Well, you don't panic, but you definitely show at least a respectful amount of concern. They're two different guys, so let's take them independently. Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee, if you remember, in 2007, was actually sent to AAA by the Indians to get his mechanics right in what was a fairly lost season for him. He got really good last year. He was almost unhittable for most of the season. Wins the Cy Young easily. Comes into spring training, looks like 2007 again. Now, I normally don't advise people to make decisions based on spring training performance. But Lee was so god-awful that I had him fifth in my initial rankings, and I ended up having him about 35th by the time the season had started. Now he makes two starts, and he's god-awful again. And he's got the Yankees today. We'll see today. This is an inflection point for Lee. If the Yankees blow him up today, his fantasy owners need to have great concern. My advice to Lee owners has been, and that includes today, to hold on to him, but don't play him until you are certain that he's got his mechanics in order. Tim Lincecum, just a blip on the radar. Tim Lincecum will be mowing down hitters, if not his next start, very near his next start. He's that talented. He's that good. Sometimes a young pitcher overthrows early in the season, and I think basically that's what Lincecum's doing. Look, Cole Hamels got whacked. A guy not of their quality, Scott Baker, still a good pitcher, came back, got whacked. It's early in the season, and with guys like that, you just need to read the tea leaves. Don't go too deep, and don't get too analytical. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. Let these guys shake out. Same thing with your hitters. You got Lance Berkman hitting below 200. You got Ryan Braun sub-200, Prince Fielder below that, David Ortiz, 176. Oh, my God, what's wrong with the fantasy universe?
Yeah, that's certainly...
You know, there's nothing wrong, guys. It's just a matter of, they're 30 at-bats, 40 at-bats into the season.
Well, Joe, I guess biggest surprise to you, Swisher comes to mind, the New York Yankees, and probably Guzman for Washington Nationals.
Yeah, Guzman, unfortunately, is on the shelf right now, and he was off to a 500 start. I think he was somewhere like 17 for 34 or 35, and he can hit. Guzman can really hit. The problem with Guzman's game is, A, the Nationals, B, the Nationals. Right after that, if he doesn't score a lot of runs, he doesn't knock in a lot of runs, he doesn't steal a lot of bases. But other than that, he plays for the Nationals. And Swisher... You can count on Swisher to disappoint you as the season goes on. He has a history of doing that. And so you look at early season guys like Emilio Bonifacio. I don't believe Bonifacio will hit 280 this year. We'll see. Adam Lind, I think he's a good OS3, outfielder 3, and probably can be picked up. The guy I do like is Adam Jones in Baltimore. I think he's showing signs of life, hitting behind Roberts in front of Mikakis. Means he gets great stuff to hit, and he's always got somebody on base. Elijah Dukes, let's see what he can do in center field. I just picked him up on my rotisserie team. So there's a lot going on right now. Edison Volquez has been disastrous. Excuse me. Disastrous. But pay attention on Sunday. He goes to Minute Maid Park. He gets away from home. He gets the pressure off. He goes to Minute Maid Park, where he's 2-0 with an ERA below 1. It's a very favorable park for him. This could be the kind of start that gets him turned around. If he gets blown up by the Astros in Minute Maid Park, then there may be some issues with Volquez going forward.
Joe DiMeo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. I was going to ask you to give us a hot tip, but I think you just did. I want to ask you one more thing before we let you get out of here. Where does a player that platoons, what do you do with guys like that? And I'm thinking, well, John Buck of the Royals, 5 RBIs, 2 home runs earlier this week, but he's not going to start half the games this year. What do you do with guys like that when they, especially in the American League, when they might come in and DH for you? Do you give any kind of a look at those type of guys to have them on your roster?
In rotisserie, I like to carry 2 catchers because catchers catch 4 games, 5 games a week, basically. Except if you're Benji Molina, then you catch every game and then a few other games. But mostly I like to carry 2 catchers. So Buck would have some credibility on rotisserie rosters as a spot play. The other thing with some of these other players, Marco Scudero, guys like that, Jerry Hairston, multi-position eligibility, as you guys both know, major league teams tend to travel on Tuesdays and Thursdays, right? Excuse me, Mondays and Thursdays. Right now they're traveling on Tuesdays because it's early, but by late April or early May, travel days will be Monday and Thursdays. That is a perfect opportunity in head-to-head formats to have multi-position eligibility on your bench, like Hairston, like Scudero, like people like that, who can give you 2 or 3 positions. So when you come into those travel days, these guys, if they're active, can plug in almost anywhere on your roster, giving you extra at-bats, 8 extra at-bats a week. Just from one guy who can do multi-position eligibility type of things will go a long way in giving you an advantage, giving you the edge on your opponents in head-to-head formats.
Joe, we appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Look forward to catching up with you next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Take very, very good care, and look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Perfectly. Check it out, fantasyplayersedge.com. He's Joe DiMeo. He joins us every Thursday on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll take a short break and wrap things up after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Almost as much fun as watching Fluffy in the dryer.
Hey, Greeny, remember how we were talking about ballpark food?
Sure I do, Golic.
The $20 ice cream, the $300 hot dogs, the drinks that you need to take out a second mortgage, the pizza that's so pricey it ought to come with a round-trip ticket to Italy?
And your point is?
Well, they're very expensive, that's all.
No need to worry. Many of your Subway favorites, like the Stack It, Pack It, made-to-your-order spicy Italian, and the meaty and delicious BLT, continue to be $5 footlongs all day, every day. Subway, home of the famous $5 footlong. Subway, eat fresh.
Head & Shoulders, when used regularly, gives you awesome, visibly flake-free hair you don't have to think about. So what goes on in the head of a Head & Shoulders man?
Why do girls start wearing those big sheepskin man boots? They're everywhere. On the street, at work, in clubs. I mean, what are they hiding under those things? Cankles? Hammer toes? Hairy feet?
When you don't have to think about your hair, your mind is free to wander. Head & Shoulders. Respect the scalp, get the hair.
If you like auctions because you like to save big money, don't miss Kearney Yamaha's 24th annual inventory reduction auction this Sunday. The auction starts at 10 a.m. sharp and will feature over 85 three-wheelers, four-wheelers, motorcycles, and personal watercraft.
This is Craig Stokerbrand at Kearney Yamaha. If you've been to one of our auctions, you already know how much money you can save. Some items sell for as much as $2,000 under regular market prices. Don't miss out on this one-time-a-year opportunity to buy three-wheelers, four-wheelers, motorcycles, and personal watercraft at unbelievably low prices.
You can also bid on thousands of dollars worth of new and used parts and accessories. This year, Kearney Yamaha will also have all of their apparel marked down to incredibly low prices. You can buy t-shirts for as little as $5 and save hundreds of dollars on leather coats and chaps. This money-saving opportunity only happens once a year. Don't miss Kearney Yamaha's annual inventory reduction auction this Sunday, April 19th at 10 a.m. sharp in the Kearney Yamaha parking lot.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see more cloud cover and some breaks of sun in some areas today, along with a continued chance for some scattered showers or storms at times, with highs around 66, southeast winds stay at 12 to 25. For tonight, we'll see a chance for showers and a few storms with lows around 46, up to 61 for a high Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 59.
Doug and Daddy's show, a lot going on today. Tomorrow, we're going to preview the Nebraska spring game, and we'll talk Fodder Horse Racing and recap the Hall of Fame banquet with track announcer Steve Anderson. But right now, I turn it over to Daddy because he wants to give away our last set of spring game tickets. What are you doing, crazy guy?
Well, we're going back to the number game, I think. We got to play it one more time here before we get out of here.
Okay, are we giving away four?
This is a family four-pack of tickets to the Nebraska spring game. A family four-pack, and I'm going to tell you right now, Kearney Golf Center gave us these golf tickets right south of UNK along Highway 30.
So sponsoring this set of tickets, the Kearney Golf Center. Check them out. Great driving range, lighted driving range. They're
eight
there for you.
Greens.
God, I need practice. 1-888-455-ESPN. If you have not won tickets to the Nebraska spring game here on the Doug and Daddy Show, you are now eligible. And I'm going to tell you right now, I got one right off the bat, Tony. I got one right off the bat. Let's go to the phone lines at 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. It might be a new player. It might be a current player. It might be an old player. I'm gonna throw this in to the next caller. Who do we have on the line? Anybody?
It's Mike.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good.
Okay. I'm gonna throw you a tough one here.
Okay.
In fact, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you three players, and you have to give me two correct answers out of these three players.
Okay.
All right. Jersey numbers of these three players: Todd Peterson, Jeff Quinn, Mike Rozier.
Todd Peterson, 17, Mike Rozier, 30.
Guys! I should have just Quinned you. Do you know what Jeff Quinn's number was?
Oh.
His number was 11. Hey, hold on the line. We've got a family four-pack of tickets, Mike, to the spring game Saturday. Enjoy the game, but hold on the line. Derek will get the information from you.
All right, thanks.
Let's get out of here, Derek. We're a little over time today. And I was, you know, as I said that, I said, man, I want a Jeff Quinn, of course, from Ward, Husker, a quarterback, number 11.
I thought he would go with Rozier, and I thought he would go with Todd Peterson.
I thought Todd Peterson, everybody should know that's listened to this show, Big Todd, number 17. Alex Henry. 90. Terrence Moore.
98?
90. Oh. Are you kidding me?
That's an inside deal.
There you go. Hey, we want to thank Joe DiMaio, Fantasy Players Edge, for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk baseball, just like Nebraska head baseball coach Mike Anderson did. Don't forget, you can hear their entire series against A&M on our sister station, The Breeze, 94.5 FM. Also want to thank Wayne Anderson, jockey, and he does so much more working with Fodder Park now, going into the Horse Racing Hall of Fame tonight. Steve Anderson from Fodder, and a special guest to talk Nebraska spring football.
I'm going to thank Kevin Cameron of the Kearney Golf Center for giving us four tickets to Nebraska spring game on Friday, which Mike just won. We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy shows on Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game!
Hey!